You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Welcome to Pickle Me This, the officially unofficial podcast for Rick and Morty on Cartoon Network's Adult Swim. I'm your host, Jim.
And I'm Aaron.
You can subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Today we're covering Season 2, Episode 8, Interdimensional Cable 2, Tempting Fate. Here's Aaron with the recap.
Jerry is rushed to an alien emergency room because he ate some ice cream Rick was using to culture a deadly strain of bacteria. While in the hospital, the doctors positively match his human penis as a replacement heart for beloved civil rights leader Shrimply Pibbles. Does Jerry choose his cock over the lives and freedom of hundreds of billions of sentient life forms? While this dick drama unfolds, the Smith family passes time in the waiting room by watching another round of Interdimensional Cable.
All right, Aaron, what'd you think of this second round of Interdimensional Cable?
I mean, I liked this episode. I think this episode's got some great stuff. There's some real gut busters. But this might be the shortest podcast that we ever record because one half of this episode is just the pure unfiltered madness of Justin Roiland. Mm-hmm. And the other half of the episode is just an elaborate dick joke.
Yeah.
With some light kind of, you know, mainstream marital comedy thrown in. One of the reasons we typically don't do comedy shows as podcasts is because it's very much Chris Farley. Oh, remember when? Oh, that was real funny. I don't know that it's as funny as the first Interdimensional Cable, although there are a lot of skits that I really like. Jan District Michael Vincent, Sector 16, whatever it is,
yeah,
might be my favorite Interdimensional Cable skit of all time.
Wow. Okay.
Just because I grew up watching Airwolf and I thought Jan Michael Vincent is a cool guy, just recently passed away. RIP Jan Michael Vincent. But yeah, this is just pure comedy. There's not, I mean, you can plumb the depths of stupid Jerry and insecure Jerry and douchebag Jerry here. You know, I feel like we've already been to the Mariana Trench of that. So I don't know. What do you think?
I mean, I don't know. Is it worth pointing out that they use reverse psychology on him here a little bit?
They sort of
guilt him into agreeing in the first place and. Yeah, I mean, they say, oh, you humans, obviously you're not as evolved. You would never, you know, you value for some reason these parts. And
was that because I never considered that the aliens were intentionally trying to do reverse psychology. I just thought it's more.
No,
of like,
but it had that effect, whether they intended it or not.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because Jerry's so feeble-minded.
But I mean, it's a trope of like, you know, two people at, it's like, that's an action movie trope of like, you know. Vin Diesel goes to The Rock because his sister's in jail and The Rock's a CIA agent and never mind, he wouldn't understand family. Mm-hmm. And The Rock grabs him, cracks a Corona and says, on contraire, I have a family.
Wow. That's, yeah.
He quotes French and says, I have a family. It turns out The Rock came from a family too. And he donates his penis to Vince Diesel. The Vince Diesel.
Vince Diesel, 16.
Yeah.
Coming this fall.
Yeah.
Actually, I think I saw that movie 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. Vincent down your diesels because they're running rich. They're rolling coal.
There was a hamster in butt cameo.
There's a lot of interesting cameos. I noticed there's it looks like they're trying to figure out how to remove a face hugger in one of these triage centers. What do we have to say about...
What's your favorite skits, the Jan Michael one you said?
Probably, yeah.
Okay. I think, man, I really like the little bits.
Little bits is funny.
That, But the whole skit isn't funny. It's really the whispering that gets me.
Yeah.
Of the little bits.
And that's like one of those, that's the thing. It's like a lot of this shit has made its way into our household parlance. Like, you know, when, I don't know when, but, you know, anytime we talk about, you know, how hungry are you? You're not very hungry, or you're in the mood for, or, you know, it's like, there's all these, like, have you seen the trend of like Lunchables for adults? Like protein packs, E3. That means they call them little bits.
Okay.
You know, you get them for $1 a pack. It's got some nuts. It's got little cubes, little tiny cubes of cheese.
I don't know how you crack one of those open when you're on the side of a cliff face, hanging from a rope.
Well, you got the cliff there. I mean, that's good for cracking things.
It's true.
So you just crack open a little bit.
I think the vast majority of people would say their favorite skit is the how they do it, Plumbus's.
How it gets thing. Made is, it's, but the thing is, it's, it's funny and clever, but it's good and it's clever satire, but I don't know that it's funny.
Yeah, I don't understand why this is like the biggest thing in Rick and Morty, these Plumbuses.
I think it's just because Justin kills the narrator.
Yeah, I mean, like, it sounds exactly like How Did This Get Made, or
right,
or and, whatever it's called,
and also, like, you know, it's a little bit of have you heard of like the Rest of the Owl, kind of like, you know, these. It's a Reddit subreddit where it's essentially the idea of, you ever cracked open one of those how to draw books when you're a kid, and they're like, oh, you just draw, if you draw an owl, and it's like, here's three circles, and here is, and then some triangles for its beak, and then the next illustration is literally like fully shaded, feathered, all that kind of shit.
Uh-huh.
Like, it captures that part where I wonder, you know, if you had like a How Does This Get Made aluminum can, and you showed that to an alien from another planet, you know, would they have enough cultural context to understand what the fuck any of this stuff is? And I like the idea that you've got these plebes and you're rubbing this and you got to remove all the excess scrumbus or whatever. And then you get I don't know why it's so popular, but it's a okay. very, having watched a lot of how does this get made, or how stuff gets made.
Yeah.
It's such a great send up of it.
I guess maybe my other favorite, if I had to pick like a favorite overall, not just little bits. I'd probably say the opposite news with Michael
and Pykele.
Michael and Pykele.
Because Pykele's rant is what makes it.
It does.
It's like, oh, you know, you had that name for 10 years, and then another one comes out. Oh, fuck it. Call him Pykele.
Right.
Like, what I love about it is, like, it's just obviously Justin is stream of consciousness on the mic and just pointing out the absurdities and his own shit, you know?
Yeah.
Like, none of that's scripted.
No.
It's just like, Michael, and it's Pykele, and now that becomes part of the plot. But yeah, I like that. I like that a lot.
Seems like fun.
I like Man vs. Car.
Okay.
It's just such a, like, that's another one where, like, you can tell, like, I love it when the guys are just like, can we really get away with doing this on television? And they leave that part of, like, the dialogue in there.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, like, an announcer just as an aside, like, is the car always going to just, you know, run over the guy?
Yeah. And they start cracking up, yeah. And you kind of get the impression that a lot of these skits, they sort of, they don't know if there's anything there, but once they hand it to the animators, that
right.
makes it.
Yeah.
And those are always the best.
The Man vs. Car, I love it that it's not even particular. It's not a muscle car. It's not a truck.
Nope.
It's just, it looks like a fucking 1981 Toyota Tercel.
Uh-huh.
And it handily destroys this very strong man.
As it would.
Of course it would.
As it would, yeah.
Because of course it would. Like, even if it's only got 75 horsepower, that's probably 73 more than that strong man possesses.
Oh, at least.
Yeah.
At least.
Yeah. Just when the... when the wheel collapses this skull and just starts spitting blood and everything.
There's another callback, too. There's some kind of Olympic show where I don't know what the name of the race of aliens.
They're like garbles?
That sounds absolutely correct. It's a callback to the one who kind of explodes on Jerry in the Jerry Bree episode.
Yeah.
So I thought that was kind of cool to see.
Like, what is that sport? What is their life cycle?
I mean, it seems like they're trying to explode themselves in as large a splatter as possible.
Yeah,
like, they're measuring
the splatter.
They're
going for surface area, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess you really only get one shot. You don't know how good you are.
That's what I'm saying. Is he, like, that is, are they dead? Do they reconstitute? Because that's an interesting,
good question.
Like, you got one shot, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, if the world's best pole jumper would literally die at the end of their first pole jump.
Yeah.
Like, how do you practice it?
How do you?
You can't actually pole jump because if you do, you're dead. So, like, what are all the exercises to get you almost to that point?
Right.
I mean,
and what? So, where would you set the bar? Like, if you were pole jumping and you were going to die on the jump, where do you set the bar? You got to set it just like, in my opinion, just slightly above the record, right?
And
you take your shot. You either make it or you don't. Either way, it doesn't matter. But if you can get. If you can break that record, that's all that matters.
But then you got the insane heroes that dare to dream. They're going to beat it by 3 feet.
Oh, see, that's a mistake.
And then no one, they instead of owning the record for 6 weeks, they own it for 6 decades.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is like, you're going for immortality, right? So yeah. Why wouldn't you go for some record smack? Because like if you die, you're going to die. You're not going to know whether you succeeded or failed. So if you're going for immortality, go for immortality, man. Okay. It's a high stakes sport.
I got an actual serious question.
Okay.
So the TV shows that they show Rick and Morty watching, some of them seem to interact with the audience. They seem to be looking at the audience. They seem to be able to teleport people from their location into the show. Are they setting something up for next time? Are they setting something up for later?
It would be cool if, like, Jerry got sucked into one of these game shows.
Right, I'm wondering.
And it kind of gets a little bit of that Interdimensional Cable 1 feel.
Mm-hmm.
That
the VR helmets, yeah.
Yeah, that you had the family in the kind of in the thing that they were enjoying, and it, like, Rick's like, it's a commercial. Jesus Christ has watched something else, and then everybody's begging, like, we got to see what that. And he's running some. Oh, it'd be really funny to see, like, Jerry doing. You remember. These were all the rage when we were like 20. There were these crazy Japanese game shows. Like, what was the one like the ultimate something challenge?
Yeah, like Takeshi's Castle. Is that the name of it?
It's like all the crazy obstacle courses, and they're wearing weird uniforms, and they're getting hurt all the time. It would be funny to see Jerry compete in like a really dangerous alien version of that. And you know that could be something. Do you want to talk about the B plot? The PS plot. The D plot.
The D plot.
It's all about the D. There's a lot of like offhand dialogue that I really like. Like you know, Beth being worried about Jerry, and Rick's like, oh, you're 39 years too late. Or wait, how old is Jerry? Is he 50?
Is he 50?
Jesus Christ, Beth, is Jerry 50? Like that is so funny. I can't even tell you why.
No.
It's just like, is it funny because like, did you marry that old? Like, is he too old? Is it like, is it extra pathetic that he's still 50 and he's in whatever Jerry shape that he's in? It's just really fucking funny. Really funny. What did you think of Werner Herzog's?
I loved Werner Herzog in this.
Yeah. That he kind of makes the dialogue, right?
He does. Yeah. I mean, it's one thing coming out of, you know, somebody else's mouth who I don't recognize, but with an actor as serious as Werner Herzog.
Yeah. He's using his voice of kind of, you know, his voice he reserves for looking at 20,000-year-old cave paintings for the first time, or
it's kind of
seeing a man being mauled to death by a grizzly bear on film. Like, right. That's, they think it's funny when they're big, it's funny when they're small. I love it.
So it's the same reason I like watching famous actors' older films. Usually, because a lot of the times they're bad when they were just getting their start.
Yeah.
They do some shit that maybe they wouldn't be reduced to nowadays.
Right.
I like seeing that.
I like, you know, obviously Jerry trying to use Beth as a shield because he starts getting squeamish about getting his penis removed. And then he brings Beth in there, and it seems like she's kind of on board, like, you know, what the fuck is all this? But I love what they do, the animators do, with her performance as she's going through the replacement dick catalog.
Yeah.
And then there's like this implication, like, what do you think about the XP20 or the XP20XS? Like, XS is extra small, right?
Oh, it would be, I suppose.
I think this is I've probably seen this episode 20 times. It's the first time I actually paid attention to the model numbers. And then the gun that Jerry's packing at the end is actually the XP20XS. Not a super small.
So the 20X must be big. Yeah. Real big.
Oh, maybe that's the thing. Like, alien cocks are just unimaginably large. So you got like the fit in a human size orifice, you need the XS.
I mean, I've seen the sexual organs that Abraham Dolph Linkler was thrust into.
Sure.
They're pretty big.
Yeah. Those are considered medium.
Right.
So yeah, that face, like, it's like kind of like horrified fascination. It's really great. You know, we praise the vocal work a lot, but like there's some really subtle facial stuff they're doing with her.
How would you pick an alien prosthetic sexual organ? Like, I wouldn't trust that I could even pick a good one, because I don't know what it's going to do, and, you know, I might get bored with it a year in.
See, that's the thing. Would you put your penis in an alien's heart, an alien's heart that saves 100 billion people if they gave you, like, some kind of, like, fully functional prosthetic?
Yeah, definitely.
Same here. And I think Jerry's problem is he just didn't negotiate hard enough. Like, what if, like, they could have done things like, hey, I'll give him his cock, or I'll give him my cock until... the galaxy saves up money to get him like a replace. So it's kind of like a temporary, and then I get mine back. Or like, okay, if this is such a big deal, I want a lifetime swap out policy. So if I get tired of this one, I can, so I like, come on, man, expand your mind.
Right.
It's like, you know, it's either fully functional or it's not, you know? But I guess that's the thing. You know what your own penis is capable of.
Right.
What if it's a Matrix thing where it's kind of like, what did they call the gloop they all ate? Was like creamy wheat.
Oh yeah, tasty wheat.
Tasty wheat. Yeah, that's what it is. Or how do you know if chicken tastes like chicken? Like, well, this case, you know what your dick feels like.
Right.
XP20XS. I don't know if it's only 50% of that.
Yeah, I don't think that I trust the aliens across the universe to make my replacement dong.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't know what's up. They don't know what us Earth people get up to.
But they know how obsessed we are with our penises. So, like, that's a, like, right. if a surgeon, like, you know, fixes me with a steely gaze and says, I've got this, and they're in a hospital. That's the other thing, is like, that's something that I wanted to ask you about. How fucked up was Jerry's medical situation that Rick had to take him to an alien hospital?
Ooh,
because one of the questions I had is like, why can't Rick just cure him? Like, he can chain up a space slug and cure him of space AIDS.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't he do that with Jerry? Does he not want to? Is it one of the things where he begged off and like, I don't know, Beth, my test tubes are dirty.
It's so much more of a hassle for him to jaunt across the galaxy here to deliver him to this doctor. I think if he could, he would fix him at home.
Mm.
So I guess it's just such a bad disease that Rick can't fix it.
Man, a disease so terrible that Rick himself can't cure it.
He has to take him to this doctor who's named Glipglop.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Glipglop. I thought that was Traforkian? It's the N word crossed with the C word.
Had a baby
with
all
the bad word for Jews. Yeah, it's... Wow.
That's a strong statement to have that name.
I was shocked when I heard that name.
Yeah, like that's the alien version of naming your baby Adolf Hitler.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, strong. Strong. I don't know. I have to see the doctor's politics, intergalactic politics, before I judge him. And then, you know, Jerry dying in a hail of bullets. I thought that, you know, like he got shot 57 times, but that's essentially, you know, like getting your toe stubbed on, you're getting a toe stub in this hospital, which again, like, implies maybe that Rick just doesn't have that much highly advanced medical knowledge.
Yeah.
Like, he's more of like physics and bending time and space. And like, you know, if you're...
And I guess he knows where to get stuff. Like in the pilot, he goes through a portal, grabs the leg healing stuff.
To get the leg healing stuff.
Yeah, comes back for Morty.
And that's the episode.
Sure is.
5.5 crapples worth of podcast.
Hope you enjoyed it.
Getting geared up for the 6th annual Summer Badass Fest. And while we're working on a slate of Apex badass films to enjoy, we've got an early action-packed announcement to make.
Just like last year, we're kicking off badass season with a live movie watch and podcast recording. We've rented out a theater for connoisseurs of action films and Bald Move fans that just want to have a great time.
Unlike last year, this year's movie is top secret, Hush Hush. No hints, except it's incredibly badass. It stars an absolute icon of the genre. We're willing to bet most of you haven't seen it, and it's going to be an incredible viewing experience with a packed house of bald movers.
Those of you who came to last year's screening of Total Recall know what a party it was. And those of you who didn't, now's your chance to experience it. Meet me and Jim. Order some custom movie-themed drinks at the theater's full bar. Then watch us record the full podcast for the movie. We reserved a venue over twice the size as last year, but seating is still limited.
It's happening Friday, June 21st at 7 p.m. in our hometown of Cincinnati. Get full details and buy tickets at baldmove.com/live.
Cincinnati's actually a pretty great city to visit, and we've got lots of details for side adventures on our event page as well. The Reds are playing the Boston Red Sox in their fantastic Riverside Stadium. The thrills of Kings Island just minutes away, and I'll be leading a kayak trip down the scenic Little Miami River on Saturday.
Again, get full details and get your tickets now on our Badass Fest 6 page at baldmove.com/live.
Here are the highlights coming up this week on Bald Move.
House of the Dragon Season 2 is coming up sooner than you think. And to get us all back in that Leal state of mind, Aaron and I have teamed up with Maester Anthony to bring you coordinated coverage, new and old. For the next 10 weeks leading up to Season 2, Maester Anthony will be releasing an episode of his Season 1 coverage on the Hot D podcast. He originally recorded and released it exclusively on his Double Dragon podcast, so while it's retro coverage, it's almost certainly new to you.
In addition, each Friday, Jim and I will be reading the relevant sections of George Martin's Targaryen history book, Fire and Blood, so that we can compare and contrast it to that week's episode of Hot D Season 1. So grab a copy of Fire and Blood and read along with us if you're so inclined. Just don't read ahead, unless you enjoy spoilers.
If that's not enough to satisfy your craving for fantasy entertainment, well, you're in luck. We recently watched King Arthur, Legend of the Sword, which is Guy Ritchie's uniquely stylish and anachronistic riff on the King Arthur legend. Yes, Guy Ritchie took on the most famous of all English legends and did it with huge ambitions. Sadly, or perhaps thankfully, depending on your tastes, his ambitions were cut short by meager audience interest. Join us for the podcast this Tuesday as we discuss why that might have been and whether this retelling is any good.
You can find these and many other great podcasts by searching for Bald Move Pulp or Bald Move Prestige in your favorite podcast app.
Jim, is that time to plot to the future, where we open up a portal to dimension BM77 to access behind-the-scenes details, trivia, spoilers for future episodes. You have all of you been warned. I got one.
Yeah?
Wasn't even something I picked up on a wiki. Wasn't something I picked. It's just something I use with my ear holes.
Wait. No, this is about eye holes.
Oh, but I use my ear holes this time.
Okay.
Those are safe. Those are safe. There's no ear hole, man, turns out. Dan Harmon voices the doctor that gets the rage virus puked on him.
I thought he was the voice of Birdman, bird person.
He's many voices.
Hmm.
Yeah, I think he's, you know, obviously he's some of the narration and some of the commercial stuff here. Yeah. So the big thing I got from the commentary is the reason that this interdimensional cable was so much more homicidal is that kind of Justin, he got disillusioned with all of the sweat and pain that was the breaking episode one, and he wanted to cut loose Justin Roiland style. So he goes off of this dialogue editor and starts doing the work for this. And I guess a dialogue editor in stuff like this not only works with them recording a script, but they also do Foley work, you know, kind of sound effects and stuff. Mm-hmm. And his sensibility is like, why not end in senseless violence? And Justin's like, fuck yeah, let's end that. So every skit is people ripping off their skin or getting ground up underneath a Toyota Tercel. Every sketch ended in gore. In fact, there's a couple that didn't, and I looked on the deleted scenes, and like that Steely episode where he just chokes the guy out, he like violently guts and throws his corpse out the window.
Yeah.
So like I think
in the commentary,
it seemed like Dan came in the commentary and said like, yeah, I actually I cut back on a little bit of this, because as a result,
This is the first of two, as at time of publishing, episodes of Rick and Morty that got labeled TVMA from the FCC. This and The Vindicators 3, season 3 episode, is the other one.
Okay.
Which I can't remember. I do remember, like, the cocky character that was played by Mr. Robot guy.
Rami Malek or no, Christian Slater?
Christian Slater. He has a pretty gory death. But I'm trying to think of, like, what, compared to this, where got people are ripping their skins off and getting mutilated and stuff, what the hell went on in that? And that's about...
I liked that personal space show.com. Justin said he was going to have just 3 hours of him listing off... just continuing to list the personal space bulletin points.
Yeah,
or
yeah,
bullet
yeah.
points.
The exercise.
To the highest number
of.
He could get to. That uh-huh. would have been terrific.
Yeah. I went... because as I was watching it, I went to personalspaceshow.com.
I did too.
And it's a dead site.
It is. I actually went to the Who Is to see who owns it. Time Warner owns it, so...
Oh, well, yeah. That's who owns the
proxy.
Ultimate reigns of Rick and Morty at this point after several mergers and acquisitions.
I was hoping. I was really hoping that it would be available and that we could register it and go ahead and do that for Justin.
That's the thing. It's like, I figured that this is either going to be a show website mm-hmm. or someone immediately poached it.
Yeah.
But of course, I mean, that's the thing. Like, it'd be like dot glip glop if it was like a fake website. You know, I don't think they'd do a .com. But yeah, it's too bad. It's too bad. But you know, that's a lot. That's an investment. That's an idea that sounds funny until you sit down and think, wow, 3-4 hours of improv on the mic about personal space. Not enough vodka in the world.
Pickle Me This is distributed by Bald Move in association with Starburns Audio. It's produced by Jason Smith and Scott Porch from Starburns, and myself, Ben Aaron, from Bald Move. All music featured on this podcast is from the Rick and Morty soundtrack, available from Sub Pop Records. Please subscribe, rate, and review us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. To discover the many other great shows we do, please check out baldmove.com and starburns.audio. If you appreciate what we do and want to directly support us, consider joining our club at club.baldmove.com to get access to exclusive bonus audio and video features. Finally, you can follow us on your favorite social media at Bald Move. See you next time.